Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I haven't looked at all of his credentials, but if he makes it to the Hall of Fame someday, he should send the Pirates, you know, something as to say thanks, because a significant portion of his numbers seemingly came against the Pirates. I mean, he used to kill the Pirates, that guy. Oh, we're going to go to the Hall of Capitas fan hotline, talk to our good friend Mike Persak from the Post-Gazette, covers the Pirates. And Mike, I mean, you're young, so I don't know if you quite remember Albert Pujols playing against the Pirates, but it seemed like every single night the guy absolutely just destroyed them. Of course, he did that to a lot of teams, but especially against the Pirates. Do you remember those days?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Michigan, so I wasn't privy too often to all of the Pirates' pains and misfortunes, I guess, as I was growing up. But as you were talking about it, I pulled up his stats, and yeah, he had 50 home runs against the Pirates. He had 359 against the Pirates in 180 games or something like that. So I understand why any Pirates fans would feel that maybe not happy to get him out of the league since he's been in the American League for a while, but aren't upset that they don't have to face Albert Pujols anymore. I mean, what a career though for that guy. I think he was obviously so great for so long. I think you said you're not sure about Hall of Fame. He's got to be a Hall of Famer in my mind. He's got to be a first ballot, almost borderline to me. So we'll see how that happens. But yeah. Weird news, I guess. Weird to see him retiring, right?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I haven't studied his numbers. I mean, in my mind, he feels like he's probably a Hall of Famer, but I haven't studied his numbers enough to really say it definitively. But Mike, it was interesting this weekend. Ben Cherington said basically to the media that guys have to just sort of hang with him. And, just sort of hang with him this year and all that other stuff. I don't know. Do you make the case for fans that this is a team that's probably worthy of them paying attention to?
I think insofar as they were a team worth paying attention to last year, too. It's kind of the same, vibe to me. I guess this year there's probably more – there are fewer guys that you're familiar with, I think, just because of the offensive trade. So, that doesn't necessarily help things, but it helps things in terms of fan attention to it. But it's the same sort of vibe. If you want to watch the Pirates, if you're a Pirates fan, there are reasons to be excited. Brian Hayes is going to be there, Mitch Keller is going to be there, and maybe end of the year some more prospects are called up, and there'll be some young guys. And Brian Reynolds is still young. It's not selling points that's going to be I don't think anyone who's trying to convince you that you should care about the Pirates is going to tell you that they're, a lot better than you think they are and they're going to compete for the playoffs or anything like that. But, if you want to pay attention, there are reasons to pay attention, it all depends on kind of what your buy-in would have been already. I don't think anyone has any delusions about what this team is supposed to be this season. But like I said, you know, there are reasons to be excited, probably more individual reasons than team success. But if you know, that's your thing, then that's your thing.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think there are some things that, you know, you could be at least interested in watching. But it was an interesting debate on social media today. You know, Derek Shelton and company have basically said that, you know, Adam Frazier is going to be the second baseman. You know, of course, that assumes he's still going to be on the roster when the season starts. But, you know, you look, you've got him. You've got probably Moran and Frazier at first. I'm sorry, him and Moran and, yeah, Todd Frazier at first. You've got Hayes. You've got Stallings. You've got Polanco. I mean, you've got a lot of positions that are already pretty much taken care of in terms of who's going to be the everyday guy. The debate was, is that a good thing that there's not – really even that much competition for a team that really is kind of this bad?
I wouldn't – when I think about it, I don't really think of it as a good or a bad thing. The only spot that I think is – troubles me is just the middle infield, because there are so many – like there are four or five bodies, depending on how, who you want to consider, it, you know, in the mix right there. Like, you've got Kevin Newman and Eric Gonzalez at short. Cole Tucker is thrown in there too. Adam Frazier – at second base, and if Adam Frazier's taking all those, well, now you got three guys, plus maybe Wilmer Defoe, depending on what they think of him, in the mix for shortstop. You know what I'm saying? And that's the part that's worrisome to me is the ones where there are so many guys and you're not exactly sure what their role is going to be down the road, anyways, and you're not so sure how many reps they're going to be able to get at any position. You know, how many times are they going to realistically be able to get in line? Like, how often is Cole Tucker going to be in the starting lineup? And I don't know the answer to that. So, like, that's the problem to me, if there is a problem. But in terms of, like, the spots that are spoken for, like, the only time that it would be an issue to me would be if there was, like, if there was a right fielder who was at AAA, who's a stud, who's going to take over and be the right fielder of the future, then it would be a stickier situation with Gregory Polanco. But there just isn't. Like, there are some outfielders that could get there by the end of the year, but it's not an overlapping, you know, production situation to me where I think that there should be a ton of concern that Polanco's the starting right fielder or that, you know, Moran's the starting first baseman. Like, there's nobody, like, right there who you think is, you know, should have that spot for development's sake, you know?
Well, you know, Charrington, one of the things someone asked him, I forget exactly about which player it was, but somebody asked him in general something about one of these younger players and will service time be a factor in whether or not he comes up or not. And Charrington said, service time will not be a factor. No offense, but I have a hard time believing that won't be a major factor over the next couple of years as they try and maximize how much they get out of these guys that they have. Would you agree with me on that?
It's, you know, it's hard to say. I think they it's such a weird thing with baseball teams, right? Because I think most people view it as, like, you know, maybe this is harmful to the guys. But, like, fans, if a guy's ready, they want to see him up there. So that's what Charrington said yesterday. But, like, I also get the other side of it. Like, I understand why teams would, you know, manipulate service time or however you want to word it. Like, I get why they would want to keep guys down for parts of the season just because it is smart financially. Like, it's another year on the contract where you don't have to enter arbitration or whatever. Like, it just delays everything a year. So I get why it's happening. They haven't really been in the situation quite yet, right? Like, it would be, you know, I think Key Brian Hayes burst onto the scene quickly enough where, like, people would be, like, it's indefensible to, like, move him to AAA to start this year, right? So it hasn't really popped up. Like I said, kind of with your last question, like, there's nobody that's right there, none of the young guys that are right there that you really, you know, everyone's begging for them to get called up right now. So I don't know exactly how it's going to play out. There's a chance that nobody even really notices. Like, it'll depend on when guys like Nick Gonzalez and Quinn Priester and O'Neill Cruz are deemed ready to join the major league roster. But, yeah, we'll see. I, you know, there's no real reason for me to think that Ben Charrington was lying yesterday or you know, telling an alternative truth or something. But you know, it's a matter of time before we actually before he actually has to, you know, decide on those things.
We're talking with Mike Persak of the Post-Gazette. Mike, Seattle's president, GM, president and CEO, what's his name, Kevin Mather, said some stupid things about some of his Asian players, but he also, you know, got into some hot water for what I would call essentially just sort of pulling back the curtain on what a lot of teams do in baseball with respect to free agents and also service time manipulation and things of the such. I mean, really what he said, I don't know if you saw what his comments were, but what he said in those regards, I mean, we've all kind of known that's what goes on anyway, right?
Yeah, so I saw the manipulating Miley time. What did he say in free agency? Like, I know he said like Kyle Seager's done here. Like, he said a lot of dumb stuff.
He said basically that they, you know, that they underpay and underpay free agents.
That's right.
And they wait basically they can wait to get them on the, you know, cheap market, and they underpay them,
yep.
And yeah, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, if you've looked at what's going on in free agency the last few years, that's really not that big of a surprise, is it?
No, I think it's shocking to see somebody actually say it. The whole interview, I don't know if you watched like the whole clip or saw like the pulled out quotes. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it is so hard for me to imagine a guy saying those things and just being so open about it in a setting, like a relatively public setting. Maybe he didn't know the video was going to be published. But, no, I agree with you. It's something that I've thought about a lot just this past offseason with, you know, the amount of teams that are going for, like, that are obviously going for it this year, that are you know, buying in. And the Padres are just collecting all of these great pitchers, and the Dodgers are obviously getting a lot of guys, and the Yankees are always in it. But like, how? Like, it's such a strange landscape in baseball right now. I don't know if it's COVID related. I don't know if teams are like really hurting that so badly financially that they just feel like they have to rebuild, like they don't really have another option. But it's just such an odd situation. I agree with you that like the shady, quote unquote shady stuff that he said about like free agents or Kyle Seager or whatever. It's not a shock. Like, that's, you know, I don't know if people could consider Seattle a small market, but like, that's what you think of with small market baseball. Like, any Pirates fan who saw those quotes, you know, specifically on the free agent stuff or the minor leaguer stuff, could have been like, yeah, you know, join the club, man. Like, we get it or whatever. I don't know. It was just such a weird, like, interview for that guy. It was so, I don't know if shocking is the right word, but so, like, jarring to see a guy just flat out say all those things, you know? And obviously none of that to speak of the, like, you know, not-so-quiet racist stuff that he's saying about his players, too.
Right. I mean, that obviously is a big problem. I mean, but my thoughts were, you know, it wasn't really intelligent for him to say some of this stuff about baseball economics, but, you know, there's a lot of teams, right, that probably operate that way. Looking at the way things have gone in the last two or three or four years, there's a lot of teams that operate that way.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. I know opinions on Yasiel Puig, and this is just the example I fall back on. I know opinions on Yasiel Puig are varied, and some people think like he's overhyped for you know, the stats that he gives up. But that's, you know, a 30-year-old solid baseball player who just didn't play last year. He just wasn't on a team, and he's still not signed this year. Like, I understand why teams wouldn't want to sign him, but you'd think that a team somewhere would want to sign that guy. You know, like, there are just free agents that have taken so long for there to be interest. Like, it took so long for even Trevor Bauer to come off the market, and I don't know. Some of these things happen anyways, and some guys are, you know, asking for too high of a paycheck that people are willing to give them. So I get it. It just seems like such an odd situation when you have that combined with just the relative lack of teams that are really trying to win this year. Like, you know, if you look at the NL Central this year, it seems like every team was selling this offseason. Every team had some important guy go away. And it's like, all right, well, what are we even doing here? Like, is anybody trying to win the World Series, or is it just, you know, Padres, Dodgers, Yankees, maybe the Rays, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the most important thing when you think about it. I mean, it's so, you know, to me, they've got to, if you're the players, you've got to figure out a way to combat this. But it just was kind of ironic to me. Mike, you know, looking at this team, the over-under came out 58.5, I think, was the number in Vegas. 58.5 is the over-under for wins. I mean, it's one of the lowest numbers in a long, long time. I don't know. They can't be that bad, will they be?
It's so low. I don't know. Like, I get it. But, you know, 58.5, if you think about it, and I know that the Pirates came on a little bit last year, but 58.5 is like seven games better than the pace that they were on last season. Like, they were on such a poor pace last season. And then they got rid of, you know, Joe Musgrove and Trevor Williams and James Taillon and Josh Bell. So, like, I think that over 162 game season, they probably have more talent. Like, Ke'Bryan Hayes for a full season is probably worth more than any of those guys they got rid of, and on his own probably improves the team if he plays, you know, even a little, even almost as well as he did last year. I don't know. Like, it's going to depend on a lot of guys bouncing back. Like, when I think of it, it's probably in like the 65 game range. It's like, if I had to sit down and predict it right now, like, I don't think they're going to be, you know, competing for the division or anything like that. It's just so, I mean, you nailed it. Like, it's 58.5. When you see that number, it's like, oh my gosh, how is that possible? How can that possibly be the number that Vegas is setting for this? I don't know. If I had to bet on it, obviously I'm not. I would bet on the over, but you know, what do I know, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing. It seems like 58.5 is really, really low. But then you look, you know, and there are some things that are questions. I mean, if Chad Cole and Stephen Brault, you know, and JT Brubaker go the other way, you know what I mean, and go, you know, and as opposed to, you know, going the way the Pirates hope they go, I mean, all of a sudden this team does maybe look like that.
Yeah, the way I think of it, though, too, is like, the reason I think they're going to be maybe a little bit better last year is I just don't believe that Brian Reynolds and Kevin Newman and you know, even Gregory Polanco are as bad as they were last year. You know what I'm saying? Like especially Brian Reynolds. But, you know, the numbers, the offensive numbers were so terrible last year in terms of, like, pretty much every statistical category you want to look at. Like, it can't possibly be that bad again. Like, over 162-game stretch, there's no way that Gregory Polanco is going to hit 100 or 153 the entire season. You know, like he's I get that he's had his struggles and he strikes out a ton, but like either he's going to improve off that or you just can't play him in right field over 162 games. You know, and like I said, Brian Reynolds is better than what he gave off, and you know, Kevin Newman is probably better. Adam Frazier is probably better. Like there are probably a lot of guys who are just going to regress the mean in a positive way, you know. So that's the way I view it. I get what you're saying, and I kind of agree with you that expectations just because of last season may be a little bit inflated on starting pitchers. But to me, there's a happy medium there that creates a better team than you know, 19-41 was last year.
Mike, thank you so much. Great stuff as always. I'm sure we'll do it plenty of times over the summer, my man.
Thanks, Paul. Good to hear from you.
All right. Mike Perzak of the Post-Gazette breaking it down. And, you know, I'm Paul Zeiss. We've got to get to a break. 412-928-9370 is the number if you want to talk some baseball in the next segment. Give us a call. 412-928-9370.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.